Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
All right, guys, we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. Let's get started with it. This is painful, man. This is tough. ESPN pay-per-view last night in Riyadh, Tyson Fury versus Francis Ngannou. Listen, man, this fight... What was it? $75 speed? I think it was 75.
80.
Was it 80?
Yeah.
And you know what? I hemmed and hawed about it. And I was like, you know, but I got to do it at the end of the day. I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. You know, they had some squash matches on there and everything like that, you know, but you knew you're going to see some knockouts and stuff. So I was like, all right, let's watch it. You know? Yeah, that was bad. Tyson Fury wins an embarrassing, razor-thin split decision over Francis Ngannou. Scores were 95-94 for Ngannou, 96-93 for Fury, and 95-94 for Fury, which quite a few people thought he lost this decision, myself being one of them. I had it 96-93 for Ngannou. My son Antonio scored the fight 96-93 for Ngannou. I actually bet Tyson Fury to finish this fight in the first three rounds. Lost that pretty quick. You know, a little about the fight here, man. I thought Fury took the first two rounds. I thought he was just a little sharper, a little quicker. Francis was trying, but I thought Fury got the first two and the third. I don't know what happened, man. Ngannou caught Fury with a left hook and dropped him. At one point in the fight, he went for a Superman punch, almost pulled it off. Fury was clearly buzzed when he went down. He got up. You could see when he was down, his eyes were glazed. He was hurt. He wasn't all together there. He beat the count, was shaky the rest of the round. Fury tried to get something going, man, but he was constantly being backed up by Ngannou. Ngannou did a great job controlling the distance in this fight, which was, you know, you figure would have been Fury's game. I'm not 100% sure why Fury couldn't control the distance. And I was, you know, if you watch it, you know, Francis was on the outside. He wasn't like, you know, my thing was I thought Francis would have to get inside, rough him up, you know, use some of those wrestling tactics and some of that dirty boxing he uses and try to get the advantage. He didn't have to. He straight boxed him. I mean, he won this fight. I really believe he won this fight. The thing about Ngannou that impressed me is that he didn't tire down the stretch. He looked like he was getting stronger. If Fury was saying, I gave him round 7 through 10. I gave Ngannou round 7 through 10. Fury was doing nothing. He was backing up. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't throwing a lot. He wasn't getting a lot off. I gave Ngannou the last four rounds. The decision was a split decision. Has to be the most embarrassing moment for boxing ever. Ever. You've got a guy who's never boxed before that just went the distance and arguably won this fight. This was disgraceful. I mean, let's think about this here. You've got a guy. This is like, I don't know, tennis and ping pong. You get the ping pong champion against Serena Williams, and he beats her, you know. I don't understand. I really don't understand what happened here. Beeb, maybe you can make sense out of this. I thought that, I mean, you and I are big Tyson Fury fans too, but we also call it, I mean, never in my wildest dreams did I believe anything like this would ever happen. But what's to say about the sport in general? All right. Cause I'm thinking myself, my God, I wouldn't put Ngannou in there with like a top 10 Olympic guy right now, you know, and he goes in there with the heavyweight champion of the world and pulls this off. I think he won, you know, like I said, both of us had him win the fight. I don't understand. Like, what are we looking at here? And you can't say, if you're Fury, you can't say, well, he didn't train or this and that, or he carried him. He didn't carry anything. He was knocked. He was hurt in that third round. And if you look at the end of the fight, you know, Fury's face, he's got cut. You know, he got cut on the forehead. His eyes swelled up. He was knocked down. He was roughed up. Francis Ngannou didn't even look like he'd been in a fight.
Yeah, I had this fight 95-94 for Ngannou. And as you said, I thought Ngannou got tired a little bit in the middle rounds. I thought like in the fourth and fifth started getting tired. I gave Fury 4, 5, and 6. And that's where I started seeing Ngannou fight with his mouth open. But he got a second win, as you said, round 7, 8, 9, and 10. I gave him 7, 8, and 10. I actually did give Fury round 9. Fury was throwing, to me, kind of get-off-me type punches. He wasn't really stepping in hard with the jab, wasn't stepping in hard with the right hand. You know, I think that Ngannou was very patient and poised, and I think that kind of threw Fury off a little bit when Fury would step in with the right hand. Like in the first round, Fury did step in hard with the right hand, but he got countered with a left hook, right? And then you made it – we talked about this earlier. When Fury went down from that left hook in the third round, then he started getting a little bit cautious, I thought, right? Started getting a little bit cautious, and he just tried to not engage too much. So you have Ngannou with his patience. He was doing some counterpunching with the left hook. His jab was okay. He was landing the jab in certain spots. And then occasionally he'd land a big right hand right over the top, and you could see how that eye swelled right up. I saw the right hand that did that. I think it was in the eighth round where he landed a big right hand, buzzed Fury a little bit, and Fury kind of went back a little bit. You know, and it's one thing when you're moving backward, circling, trying to set traps, trying to create space, and it's another thing when you're being forced back, right? And, you know, in rounds 7 through 10, I thought Ngannou tried to be a little bit more aggressive. And, you know, when they did lock up a little bit, Fury tried to be that physical guy on the inside, but he couldn't use his weight, strength, and he couldn't manhandle Ngannou up close. You saw Ngannou kind of ragdoll Fury when they got locked up. This was a guy, though, right?
I mean, really. I mean, you know, Francis is a high-level grappler. I mean, he just is.
Yeah.
Anybody, you know, and he's not Olympic-level grappling or John Jones-level grappling.
Yeah.
But listen, man, he's a big guy, and he knows how to – he's going to have that strength from wrestling. That's what he does, you know.
Yeah.
So there's no way, you know, Fury was going to get the better of him on that end. I mean, that's right in his wheelhouse.
And this is a guy who's 270, in the 270 range, just like Fury.
Lean.
All muscle.
Lean.
All muscle. All muscle. And, I looked at him at the weigh-in, and I heard the weight being announced at 272, and I'm looking at him and saying, this guy is, like, shredded at 272.
Looks like a comic book character.
Yeah. Fucking crazy, man. Crazy. But Fury did say he trained 12 weeks for this fight. Said there was no excuses, right? This fight was a close fight. I mean, was it impossible to give Fury this decision? No. I did it. You did it. And a lot of people online did it. A lot of people think Ngannou won this fight. And then people are Jesse Regan said something to me. He goes, well, Beeb, you know, you made a point where last week, and I think it was last week or the week before, I can't remember, when we talked about the KSI fight with Tommy Fury. And, you know, you said that sometimes when people do better than you expect them to do, then you give them extra credit. Now, I don't think this was applicable here, man. I think you can legitimately say Ngannou won this fight. Even in close rounds, he was the aggressor, right? So close rounds when a lot of punches weren't being landed, he was the guy trying to force the fight moving forward.
Yep.
He was – that's what you call – if you want effective aggressiveness, because by him, coming forward and being aggressive, it's forcing Fury to have to move back and not be able to set his feet and punch. So if you could take your opponent's offense away from them by moving forward and not letting them get set, then you're controlling the fight to some degree. Even if you're not landing perfectly, he's the one throwing, and neither guy, you know, landed a ton of punches. They landed in, you know, these respectful percentages. But then people are trying to say, oh, well, look at the punch stats. You've got to be fucking desperate if you're going to pull out the punch stats to try to – listen, there is not a bigger Fury fan on this fucking earth than me. And I had to take arrows like crazy yesterday, this morning.
Day.
Right now, my phone is getting lit up with tweets.
oh, I thought this, I thought that. What happened to your guy? Blah, 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 blah. I'm getting lambasted. You know what? I'm built for it. Bring it on. Hit me with it. I deserve it. I'm not afraid. I'm going to be wrong 50% of the time. Any idiot that listens to me, they got to have their head examined. You don't have a higher standard than looking at me as the gold standard. Raise your game. You're going to listen to me as an authority. That's your fault for listening to me. But I have to take my lumps. I am the president of the Furomaniacs. You know, they even the council saw some of the things I was writing on Twitter, some of the things I said on video. I'm getting a cease and desist from these guys. They're sending me gag order letters. They want me to shut up. I can't do it. I got to be true to my audience. Fury lost that fight. We have a new uncrowned heavyweight champion of the world. And I know there's a dispute with the lineal status. I had, you know, Ring IQ believes that Fury's not lineal because he retired and he came back. Whatever you whatever you want. Ngannou is the uncrowned heavyweight champion, all right?
He's the baddest man on the planet.
Let's just put it that way.
No question.
He's the champion right now. He's the champion right now.
Just embarrassing. Notorious says that Ngannou is not a good grappler. He's a novice grappler at best. I get where you're coming from. I do get where you're coming from. But even a grappler, a lower, and he's definitely improved on his grappling. You can see that with the who did he fight? The guy from France. I'm not sure, but
yeah,
you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you know, but even Tyson's, you know, or even his grappling ability is much better than Tyson's grappling ability. Let's just say that by like a mile, you know? And so I wasn't real surprised in the clinches that Tyson couldn't muscle him. He couldn't do anything with him. Philly Drew says Fury was out of shape. Didn't take it seriously. Yeah, I get it. Antonio's humble opinion says I gave it to Fury. Yeah, I understand that. I mean, listen, that's fine. I don't say it was, you know,
not impossible to give it to Fury.
It's not impossible. No,
not impossible to give it to Fury.
But I will tell you this, give you a little stats. Fury was the house fighter last night. Fury's got a big contract in December with Usyk. Fury works for Top Rank,
for next year.
ESPN. The fight was on ESPN, put on by Top Rank. And Ngannou was not going to win that decision. He just wasn't. You know, so.
Yeah, Philly Drew said he had it 95. 90. That's fair to Philly Drew. I mean, it could be 95,
Cyril Gane,
94.
Yeah, Cyril Gane, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had it 95-94 for Ngannou. Again, it's not impossible to score 95-94 for Fury, or Eric had it 96-93, whatever.
Yeah.
There were some swing rounds here, but here's the thing, man. In these swing rounds, I'm gonna repeat and I'm gonna reemphasize. In the swing rounds, I'm gonna give it to the guy who's trying to make the fight and coming forward, as opposed to the guy who's throwing get off me punches.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. What about Fury's jab? And I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Wasn't enough, man.
No.
Wasn't enough. Okay. That's an embarrassment. And, again, biggest Fury fan of all time. He said he trained 12 weeks. If he did or he didn't, if he took him, whatever the case may be, we don't deal with the woulda, coulda, shouldas on this podcast. We deal with the what is. And the what is he didn't look great last night. And when you look at him and try to envision him fighting Usyk now, I mean, I get it. I get it. Like, people are going to say Usyk is going to smoke him. I get it.
Yeah, he's got no shot against Usyk. None.
Now, can he pull one more rabbit out of the hat? That remains to be seen. Can he muster up one more great performance against Usyk? Can he fight differently against Usyk? Can the version of Fury versus the one we saw with Dillian White, the one we saw in the second Wilder fight, can that Fury come back? It looks unlikely at this point because, again, you know, you say to yourself, did he hit the wall, right? Is this the best we're going to get?
Yeah.
Right? He said he trained 12 weeks. He said he didn't take him lightly. So you got to take him at his word. If this was the best he could do. And then he said, I was off a year or whatever. Francis Ngannou was off 2 years, coming off major knee surgery, rehab 3 quarters of this year. For the first, like, 7 to 8 months of this year, this guy was rehabbing before he could even train for this fucking fight. Anyone had an excuse. And not only that, this was his first pro fight. So, again, I'm not here to run interference for Fury. I'm not here to, like, Usyk's the favorite now. He's the favorite.
By far, by like a mile.
He's the favorite. We gotta call, like, you want to call me a flip-flopper or whatever, man. I am a flip-flopper if you want. I mean, I'm a turncoat. I'll switch sides in a second. That's the way I am. You know me. But the odds are going to reflect that Usyk's going to be the favorite off of this. That simple.
You know, and, you know, we had talked about, you know, did he underestimate him, this and that. Listen, you said we have to take him his word. He said a 12-week camp. He said he was fine. And listen, he looked and weighed exactly like he did for Wilder too. Same thing. He came out and hit him. Did you notice that the very first round, he came out and stocked him with a big right hand, clubbing right hand over the top, and that guy didn't move. You know? Yeah, I'll tell you what, man, I don't know. It was just not good. It was embarrassing. Reese Max doesn't count his smash. Yeah. You know, and somebody, we had talked about this prior to the show too. Tyson Fury is 35 years old. Anytime you're in that wheelhouse, you know, once you get past 30 and you get, you know, you get in the 35s, you can get old in a night. And we've seen it happen on a number of occasions. We probably won't know until the next night, you know, when he fights Usyk. But if I had to guess, listen, man, it's not an easy thing going in there with anybody, especially a guy like Ngannou, you know, who's skilled in something else, but he's still very athletic. But what's he, you know, I guess the fight with Usyk is going to tell the tale on whether finished or not.
Corey Lee said something to me today. He called me, we talked, and he said this could be a wake-up call for Tyson Fury, right? That when he does go into this fight with Usyk, it's going to be do or die. He's got to put everything on the line. He's got to train like he's never trained before. He's got to, you know, he's got to really, really focus like he's never focused before if he's going to win that fight with Usyk. And this kind of could have lit a fire under him. Now, he says he trained 12 weeks. I don't know what his mindset was going into this fight, but his mindset and he's just going to have to be different. He's going to have to be different. He's going to have to raise his game like he's never raised it before against Usyk. And if you're a Fury fan, I'm going to give you a ray of hope. Usyk is not 270. He's not strong. So if Fury does lay on Usyk, he's not gonna be like Ngannou and kind of ragdoll Fury off of him and walk and throw him and push him back. Like Fury was getting like manhandled by Ngannou a little bit in there.
Yeah.
Now Usyk's not gonna be able to do that. But that still doesn't mean that's gonna mean anything.
Usyk's footwork, all that other stuff is gonna play a huge part there.
Yeah. Yeah. But if Fury does lay on him and Usyk can't do anything to push him off or, you know, he lays on him and tires him out, that could factor in. Now, it didn't work against Ngannou. We established that. As you said, he's a physical guy himself, and people can say, oh, well, he's not a wrestler. He can wrestle enough. He's in the UFC. He has some type of wrestling game. Against Ciryl Gane, he did have a decent wrestling game.
He absolutely beat him, yeah.
Yeah, he switched it up because his knee was injured going into that fight, and he tried to take it to the ground so he could take some weight off his knee. And the wrestling helped him win that fight. So, you know, he can be more physical than Usyk. So Fury is going to have to kind of rough Usyk up a little bit and lean on him and try and tire him out. That's 270 going up against 225. Big difference. He'll have a 50-pound weight advantage. It's going to be hard for Usyk to deal with that guy laying on him. So that's still a factor. So we'll see.
Yeah. But, you know, listen, man. Hats off to Ngannou, though. You know what I mean? This has been, you know,
I don't want to take anything away from this guy.
Tyson Fury, but what about Ngannou to come in here and do this on this stage? You know, he's been on the big stage before, too. But to come in here and do this in Riyadh, all the celebrities there and everything like that, and, like, to do a sport that you hadn't, you know, this isn't your sport. This is a completely different sport than what you're used to. And to win like that or just knock that guy down and, you know, at least have us have this conversation of who won, who we thought won. We shouldn't even be having this conversation. That fight should have been over in the first couple rounds.
It's embarrassing, bro.
It's bad.
I still can't wrap my head around this one.
Yeah.
I'm fucking shocked. I'm still shocked right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, and a lot of you guys are referencing John Jones out there. Listen, John Jones is out in December. John Jones, I guess, hurt his shoulder or he got injured again, so that fight's not going to happen until next year. I wonder if they're going to go for 300 on that one, but I don't know, him and Stipe. But, you know, and Stipe is getting a little bit older too, you know, and he hasn't fought in a long time, so I would imagine, you know, John Jones would get that fight. But, like, yeah, I mean.
I still think Fury has a shot against Usyk.
Sure.
I do think he can do better than what he did last night. But that's still, just by me thinking that, doesn't mean anything. He has to be able to prove that. He has to be able to prove that.
Yeah. So, well, that's the other thing, too. I mean, you know, from what we saw last night, that didn't look good. You know, that didn't look good at all.
Yeah.
So
I'm not gonna jump off the bandwagon 100% here, but jump off the Fury train, the Fury wagon 100% here. But, you know, he lost a lot of momentum that he had going into this Usyk fight.
You know, and Chrissy sums it up well. Fury not only embarrassed himself, but all of boxing. The entire boxing. I mean, again, this is a sport that he doesn't do. He's not a professional at this sport. Professional combat, mixed combat, not professional boxer. He had no business coming in here last night and doing what he did to the champion of the world. The fraud. That's a fraud. I mean, it really is. That's awful. So we talked about it. He was cut in the second round. I think he was floored in the third round. Usyk probably, I guess Usyk's next. They talked about it after the fight. They said Usyk would be next. They were pretty adamant about that. I don't know.
They scheduled a post fight press conference, and they had it all set up on YouTube, and then they put something on the screen. It's canceled.
Wow.
So people was he that embarrassed that he didn't want to answer questions to the press?
Probably.
What's his name? Frank Warren is saying that. You know, he's been doing his drug tests, and he was dehydrated. I kind of think he was embarrassed.
I think so.
They just didn't want to. And then plus, they couldn't announce the date or whatever. But yeah, so we'll see what happens, man. But
DeSalle doesn't think that fight's happening. No, he might be right. He might be right. You know, and
yeah, I don't know.
You don't know what the public is
going to
clamor for after this. You don't know what the public is going to clamor for. They're going to clamor for a rematch. Nobody wants to see the Usyk fight now. You know, it's like seeing Spence go up and fight. You know, it's like nobody wants to see that anymore.
Yeah, he was embarrassed yesterday. So who knows what the fuck's going to happen, bro? Who knows?
Reese Mack said the same thing. They better watch him. It was bad. It was pathetic to watch. It really was.
What if he retires again, man?
So long. that was, again, man, like, Francis Ngannou is now the new lineal champion. I mean, he really is. He's the baddest man on the planet. That's undisputed now. Until him and John Jones get in the ring, when James Toney went over and fought Randy Couture in the UFC, you knew James Toney had no shot. Because Randy Couture, and again, Olympic caliber type of wrestler, you know, is going to shoot in. He's going to take him down. Once James Toney gets on the floor, the game is over. And it took about 30 seconds for that to happen. You're not going to go from boxing in there and win at any kind of high level. It's not. There's too many ways to win over there that you're not skilled at. But the other way around, you guys coming over here, there's no way. You saw what Floyd did to Conor. Floyd was past his prime then. You know, there's no reason to believe that this guy couldn't have waxed Ngannou. Kidding me? Awful. What's next? Beeb, what do you believe? You believe Usyk's next?
I think Usyk's next. I think it's going to – Frank Warren said it's going to happen in January or February. I think that's going to happen. He said that they have a contract that the next two fights for either man has to be each other. So these guys are locked. They're supposedly locked in for two fights with each other. and contractually obligated to do that. But once again, who knows what Fury's going to do? Who knows if Fury's going to, like, we saw a situation like this before after the first Klitschko fight where he just walked away. What if he does that again? He already like, he's retired a couple of times. Guy's like a ticking bomb, right? Ready to go off.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah, and Reese Mack said it. He said that, you know, no singing last night for Fury. Yeah, you're right. He was embarrassed.
He looked embarrassed in the ring last night. He looked like, you know, he was embarrassed.
Barry Murray says you got some boxing people, and Ngannou did not do enough to win that fight. He won 3-4 rounds top, still very embarrassing.
No,
I think he won that fight.
No, you can give him 5 or 6. Trust me. One judge gave it to him. I gave it to him. Eric gave it to him.
Yeah.
Let's not say he can't get there, bro. Come on.
Right.
I know you don't want to believe that you could get there for him, but you can. Trust me, you can.
This was always my feeling on it. You can say Floyd carried Connor, but him going 10 was embarrassing. I agree. I don't think Floyd carried him at all. I think maybe Floyd had a game plan. I think Floyd found out Connor was a little more than he expected too, but I think Floyd got it done at the end of the day. But yeah, man, that was tough to watch, man. Tough to watch. Let's go talk about the undercard here. Fabio Wardley versus David Adelaye. Heavyweights, Wardley wins by 7th round TKO. Battle of unbeatens here, man. Wardley looked really good. Adelaye had his moments at times, but Wardley was winning this fight.
Yeah, Wardley was good. He was getting his right hand off. He was patient, too. And he made sure not to get too deep in where he would smother his punches. He was really setting up that right hand with the jab and making sure that he lined him up perfectly for it. And Adelaide was just winging one shot at a time. He was just a step behind all night. And he's just not as fluid and as skilled as Wardley. Wardley, yeah. I just drew a blank there.
I agree with that, too.
Not as sharp as Wardley, right? And, he was outclassed here.
Yeah.
I thought he was in over his head a little bit here. And I did believe that Wardley was going to stop him. And I was right.
Barry Murray said Wardley could be a dark horse. Him and Anderson would be a great matchup. I don't think right now. I don't hate that fight.
Frazier Clark would be a good fight for Wardley right now. He's another local domestic UK fighter, Frazier Clark, heavyweight. I think that would be a good fight for him right now.
Yeah.
Or even an FA Jogba would be a good fight for Wardley, you know. And somewhere down the road, maybe Big Baby Anderson.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, I think so.
Towards the end of next year.
Interesting. The undercard was kind of squash matches. The undercard was kind of like squash matches, and we had Joseph Parker versus Simon King, the next one. Uppercut by Joseph Parker ended this in the third round. This was another kind of squash match. You could tell that Simon King was way out of his element here. I mean, we all knew Joseph Parker was going to win this fight, but, I mean, you know, wasn't that
he kept main? He kept leaning a little bit, and Joseph Parker just had that little.
How do you not know about Parker's uppercut? You're leaning in. That's the worst place to be.
Yeah, he's got that sneaky half hook, half uppercut, on the inside. He just like boom. Anytime he timed him with it, he landed perfectly.
He caught him a couple of times with that too. A
couple of times with it, yeah. And you saw him dipping forward and leaning in a little bit when he was throwing his right hand.
And I got to be honest, I don't know why his corner didn't, or maybe his corner did caution him. I don't know, but you look at that and he leans forward like that. You just got to wonder, like, come on, man, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Arslanovic Makhmudov versus Junior Anthony Wright. Makhmudov wins via first round KO, TKO, excuse me. And he looked good too, but again, this was what we expected, you know, kind of a squash match. So there you go. Talk about, let's talk about the other card, the DAZN card, Oshaki Foster versus Rocky Hernandez.
This fight was the fight of the night and probably had one of the rounds of the year in round 11. You know, I was talking to Chikal about this fight, and I was kind of on the fence with it. And I was, you know, going back and forth with him. And he kind of convinced me Rocky Hernandez could win this fight. And I, you know, I like Rocky Hernandez, very aggressive guy, come forward guy. Mm-hmm. But he's got good footwork. He's got good maneuverability when he comes forward. He doesn't just come forward like a caveman. He'll come forward, kind of step around you, turn you a little bit, and create, you know, create those angles for himself on the inside. And he was applying the pressure to Ashaki Foster. Ashaki Foster is the counterpuncher. He's the guy that does like to create space. He's the guy that likes to set traps. We knew that going in. And the thing with Hernandez is when he's coming forward, he's not looking to land the perfect shots. He'll hit you on the elbows, the shoulders, wherever he can get you, he'll get you. And all the while, they, you know, these are blows that may not be landing clean. You could argue if they're scoring blows or not. But once again, while he's throwing those shots, you have to react to what's coming at you. You have to block. And while you're blocking and reacting to what's coming at you, your hands are staying home and you're not able to fire back. So that's what the problem was for Ashaki Foster early in this fight. He was being blanketed with pressure. And then, you know, when Hernandez was after he fired his shots, he would just step around Ashaki Foster. He wasn't just standing straight in the pocket, you know. He would just slide off to the side, turn him either side. And Ashaki Foster would try to kind of maneuver away from him, go sneak out the back door. He would just step around and be there, blah, 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 you know. And early in this fight, you know, Hernandez ran off about four or five rounds, I thought, right? I think five rounds, right? Ashaki came back a little bit, like in the seventh. And then that 11th round, right, was a beautiful punch. And what happened was Hernandez came inside, and then, you know, through the flurry, right? He was being aggressive, trying to land those body shots up close. And after he threw the shots, he steps off to the side, and then Ashaki Foster's waiting for him. So as he steps off to the side, Ashaki Foster slips in similar punch that Joseph Parker landed against Keane. That little left, like he's a southpaw, obviously. That left hand. Looping shot, half hook, half uppercut, a little bit less of at an angle, but he just snuck it perfectly up and underneath, threaded the needle, and he hurt Rocky Hernandez in that sequence, and he reeled backward, and Ashaki Foster was jumping on him in that 11th round, and it looked like he was going to get him out of there, right? And then, you know, Hernandez was holding on, and you know, he was trying to survive there, trying to get his second win, trying to get his legs and his wits about him, right? And then he comes back, and he lands a big right-hand left hook, and he pushes Ashaki Foster up against the rope. But Ashaki Foster's still coming back at him. This thing looked like a Rocky movie in round 11, right? But still, yeah. I would say Ashaki Foster hurt Hernandez more than Hernandez hurt Foster, right?
Right.
But the fact that Hernandez was able to come back in that round was incredible. So he goes. So the round is over, right? Arguably round of the year, but you're going into the 12th here, and Hernandez still doesn't have his wits about him. He's not all the way back, right? And you know, Foster jumps on him again, hits him with a big straight left hand right down the pike, beginning of the end, and knocks him down twice. And then, you know, he gets up and then just jumps on him again, and the ref just waves it off. But the 12th round was just a massacre at that point. And but here's the thing. I had, at the time of that stoppage, you would have given him a 10-7 round there. But at that time, right, with that round included, I only gave Foster four rounds. So one judge had Hernandez up 11-0, which was ridiculous. Then I think another judge had it like, I think it was 8-3 or 7-4. I had it 7-4, right? So if Hernandez just survived the 12th round, he could have won the fight.
Yeah.
Right? So that would have been a 10-7 round, right? So he would have lost that round, so it would have been, with that round included, it would have been like an 8-4 fight, right? 8 to 4 what I would have had it, right? So it would have been 8-4 going into that round, right? Would have been an 8-4 type fight, and you would have had the two knockdowns, and Hernandez would have won. All he had to do was finish the round, and he would have won the fight. One judge had him down, but the other two had him up, so he would have won a split decision. So it was an amazing fight. Oshaki Farsta came back in a fight that he was behind, and if he didn't knock him out, he would have lost the fight.
Very good.
So it was had everything you would want in a fight.
The fight of the weekend.
Great fight.
Fight of the weekend.
Fight of the weekend.
All right, let's go to ringside, Robert. Here, 530. You're live.
Yeah, hell, and you got me in a perfect time. That was a great fight last night there, Joe. And that 11th round was something else, man. I didn't know which way it was going to end up the way that was going. And I had it scored almost like you did. It's uncanny how similar our scorecards are. But that was a great fight last night. And I hope Hernandez gets another shot with somebody. I know it probably won't happen.
Who cares about that fight? We're talking about the real fight. Talk about Ngannou, man. Come on.
I didn't watch that fight.
Who cares about that Foster fight on DAZN?
No, that's the fight I watched, man. What can I tell you? I didn't watch the Ngannou fight. I listened to the people on TalkSport cover it. And
he listened
people,
to it like old-time radio?
Well,
like he was listening to Joe Lewis or something?
No,
that was a great idea, by the way. That's a really good idea, man.
Because they weren't allowed to go cover it in Saudi Arabia, they had guys sitting in the studio, and they couldn't call it. But they were watching it on TV, and they were scoring it as they were going along. And at the end of it, all three of them that were sitting there go, "We have Ngannou winning." They all said, "I think Ngannou won." And they were very upset that Fury got the split decision.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Mean,
how did Mrs. Herrick score it?
She had no interest in it. I didn't score it, you know. But I couldn't believe it. I'm listening to a British radio station, and the British people were upset that their own guy lost the fight. That tells you everything you need to know about that fight yesterday. People were very upset at Fury.
I agree.
I was talking to Eric after the fight, and you know, after the reaction I've heard, these two guys need to have a rematch, and Usyk needs to go fight somebody else. That's just my opinion.
And I hate rematches. But, yeah, this one deserves one. I think, you know, you can't, you know, how can you call yourself the world champion after just getting mangled like that?
How can Tyson Fury go into a fight with Alexander Usyk? Granted, it's for the undisputed heavyweight title, but how in good conscience can he go into a fight like that with so many questions now hanging over him after his performance yesterday against a guy that never fought before?
Yeah.
You got to close that chapter.
Yeah. And you don't know. Again, I mean, Tyson Fury is 34, 35, somewhere in there. I think Ngannou was 36, 37. You know, at any point when you get in there at that age, man, you can get old overnight. There's never any rhyme or reason to it.
Now, since you guys actually watched the fight, is there anything that Ngannou did to Fury yesterday that Usyk could take into a Fury fight? Considering that Usyk is not the size of a Francis Ngannou.
No, two different styles. I mean, Usyk will use his footwork. He'll use his movement, and that's how he's going to get out of it. Like, you know, he's not going to let Tyson Fury lay on him and stuff like that or try to grapple him. He's going to use his speed and his foot movement to get away from that kind of stuff. But I will say, like I said, man, Tyson Fury is used to bullying a lot of those guys, especially like Wilder, who was just as big as he was. And I mean, he really out muscled Wilder in those three fights, actually.
Yeah.
And I think that's something he thought he could do here. But, you know, listen, man, Ngannou, again, is a wrestler. He's a grappler.
Well,
that's what they do in there.
Eric, if you remember when Wilder fought Fury, especially in the first fight and the third fight, Wilder would hit Fury, Fury would go down, and Fury would be the only one that could get up and continue fighting. So Fury probably thought, hey, this guy has never boxed before. I can use all my tactics,
yeah,
and he wouldn't know how to handle it. And Fury probably didn't know how to act. Well, wait a minute, none of my tactics are working, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So,
I agree.
I still think Fury's size could present problems for Usyk. I'm still going to go with Fury.
Oh, Joe, I agree because I don't know how Usyk is going to handle that size. But I
you didn't see the fight yesterday, Robert. You can't make a good assessment. You didn't see the
no,
fight
but,
yesterday.
But
you have to go back
said,
and watch the fight.
But no, I said the same thing.
You have to buy the fight on archive and watch it, Robbie, before you make an assessment.
But I said the same thing when Usyk fought Joshua. I didn't think Joshua would lose, but he lost to him twice. So, you know, what do I know?
There you go.
So,
there you go.
Anyway.
All right, Robbie, we're going to go ahead and put you on
later.
Hold, man. And all right.
Get the hell out of here.
760, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? This is Brian.
Hey, what's up, man?
Oh, what's up with you? Hey, man, you know I was laughing yesterday. I was wondering, what was you guys' reaction watching that shit? I could picture Eric. He was probably laughing. B was probably crying.
I think we were both, I tell you, and I don't want to speak for B, but I think we were both dumbfounded watching that fight. We couldn't believe what we were seeing.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you the truth because I tell you the truth, right? I'm watching that fight. And
touchdown Bengals, baby.
My face is turning red. I got a headache. I'm saying to myself, this can't be happening right now. And then I'm also saying to myself, oh, I'm going to have to listen to people for forever now telling me, oh, I thought you said this, Beeb. I thought you said that. Lo and behold, I'm getting slaughtered here. I'm getting slaughtered on Twitter. I'm getting slaughtered on YouTube. Everyone's really sticking it into me right now, man. They're giving me the
piss. Right, and then
I'm taking the piss today.
Calling.
It's horrible.
And then here go me calling, man, because you know I'm getting
ready.
You're
in England or something.
You know I'm getting ready to ask
I'm taking
you
the piss today,
Beeb.
Man.
You know I'm getting ready to say this, Beeb. Okay, so did Ngannou just hang with the greatest fighter boxer of all time?
He beat him.
Francis Ngannou defeated the greatest fighter, the greatest boxer of all time, the GOAT, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We thought he won. Yeah.
So what does that make Francis Ngannou to
the
you?
Baddest,
he defeated GOAT.
The baddest man on the
right
planet.
Now,
the
right
baddest
now,
man on the planet is what it makes Ngannou.
He's the,
right now,
he's the greatest
Ngannou
boxer
that the
ever laced him up
champion.
Or what?
No, he's the uncrowned heavyweight champion right now.
You know, let me tell you the story. Back when the UFC, Chuck Liddell was real popular in the UFC, and Chuck Liddell, not many people knew he was a really great wrestler, which he really is, but he was just known for his striking because he can make people stand up and bang with him, you know, and he was known for his hands and was knocking mm-hmm. people out left and right. And somebody asked me, he said, how would he do in boxing? I said, he would get destroyed. He would get the money. It wouldn't even be close. From what you're looking at,
right.
when we see him carry his hands, the way you see him set up, he would
right.
get killed. It wouldn't even be close. Not any time in my life did I think this would happen. Like, we would
I've never
take
even,
him from this
hey,
point.
You
I
know
mean,
it's so
never,
funny.
Couldn't even fathom it. Couldn't even fathom
I've
it.
Never even seen this in real life. Like, you know, when you go in the boxing gym, because I used to box. You know,
yeah.
we go in there and we beat up on the MMA dudes. It's like I've never even
oh,
seen
yeah.
this shit in real life. I didn't even think this shit was possible. But I will say this, though. Ngannou, it's something special about this guy, man, because I didn't know nothing about, you know, I knew about him knocking dudes out in the UFC, but his whole story background, like, dang. I'm like, man, this dude was homeless and all that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
He... I mean, in a way, it's almost like the African Rocky, like, movie, watching that fight yesterday.
Dude,
you know,
he started in 2013. He started his MMA career in 2013. Yeah. That is just insane
to
me.
I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something,
man.
Right.
This dude, hold on, let me say this first. This dude, he'd be from Wakanda. I think he'd a Black Panther. This guy had vibranium. He had vibranium in his gloves and in his chin. Golly, dude was a beast. But what was he saying?
Yeah. Brian.
What's up?
I'll tell you what happened with me, right? I was so embarrassed yesterday, and I'm so embarrassed today because of all of the talk that I've been talking for like the last 3 years. I'm so embarrassed. Yeah. Right? But I'll be honest with you. I am happy for Francis Ngannou.
Yeah.
That was
a hell of a story.
You cannot not like that. It's almost impossible to not admire and like that guy. And it's also it's almost impossible to not be happy and root for that guy, right?
Right.
And here's another thing, Brian. Here's another thing, Brian. We all talked about how this was going to be a money grab. This is going to be horrible. Why are we buying it? Guess what? It was actually a decent fight.
It was
because this played out the way it did. It ended up turning into a decent event last night.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, really
right.
Did.
Hey, this might make the boxers.
It's the theater of the unexpected. Now I have to be made to look like an ass for a couple months, maybe a couple years. But I'll have to take it on the chin until Fury beats Usyk. If Fury beats Usyk, then all this is water under the bridge.
Water under the bridge.
I don't think so. Because
no,
Usyk ain't.
Am I still in the doghouse?
I think he'll still beat Usyk. I think Fury will beat Usyk. I think it's Wade. And Ngannou is just solid. Homie, 270. This dude don't even look like he got fat on him. He's strong.
Yeah,
he looked
like a superhero,
man. He was official.
Man.
Yes, that's why
he might even be from Wakanda,
be,
man. I'll tell you what, man.
He's got to be the Black Panther. I'm
like
listening to him.
He's
I'm
bigger,
like,
than,
damn,
he looks bigger than the
he
Black
is
Panther.
He is a superhero.
Yeah,
I mean, when the fight was done, I said, yes, he is a superhero. That's the Black Panther right there, man, for real.
I'll tell you what, the Black Panther works for him now, I'll tell you that.
Right. Hey, but look, this is going to make them boxers think when they be trying to get the money grabs from now on with the MMA guys. They're going to be like, I'm going to think about that Fury fight.
Now,
nah.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
What's
going to
happen now, Brian?
All right, Brian, we're going to get going here. Beeb, go ahead.
Okay.
This is what's going to happen now. Every time an MMA fighter wants to fight a boxer, and everyone says, oh, you can't do it. Well, look what Ngannou did. D-Style said this to me. They're all going to say, look what Ngannou did.
Yeah.
Look what Ngannou did. So.
All right. Corey Lee, I heard, had Tyson Fury winning a split decision. That's just what I heard. 804, you're live.
What's going on there, buddy? What's up, man?
We got an Usyk fan on the line, I'll tell you that.
I can't do nothing but laugh today, man, you know, because, you know, a lot of people overlook Francis Ngannou, man. First of all, shout out to the show. Shout out to the Ringside Reporter, Bees and Eric, man. Awesome show. Shout out to Robbie on hold. You know, I just think it was an awesome fight, man. I think it came by surprise. I didn't think a lot of people seen that this fight was going to be this close and be this competitive. Francis Ngannou was training like a champion, and it showed, man. You got to understand that he left the UFC, the reigning UFC champion. That does something to your psyche. That does something to your mental. You know what I'm saying? And I think that he had a full steam running forward into this fight, and he was being so humble, nobody seen it. You know what I mean? I think there's a switch in Francis Ngannou, and, man, he really showed out, man. He had Tyson Fury backing up on the back foot all night. You know, he was catching, you know, he was slick at times as well for a really big muscular man. You know, not really, you know, more you know, elusive as some of the other guys. You know, I still think Tyson Fury is still more elusive than Francis Ngannou, but at times, man, Francis Ngannou caught Tyson Fury, man, and Tyson Fury, you know, kind of put his, you know, foot on the brakes, man, because I think that, you know, Francis Ngannou's power, which he did not, I mean, let me just say this, y'all. When Tyson Fury got knocked down, did you see when he looked at his corner, like, what the fuck did I just sign up for? What in the hell did I just sign up for? You know what I mean? And I just think that that's a telltale sign of this whole fight. You know, he was on his ass looking at his corner, you know, and shout out to, you know, the great Emmanuel Stewart and everybody over there at the Defunct Boxing Gym. But when you let your fighter balloon up to north of 400 pounds and keep coming down time and time again, okay, this is Tyson Fury's first fight in over a year. You know what I mean? And I just think that it showed. You cannot leave a guy like Tyson Fury with all of these, you know, mental health issues and stuff like that stagnant in the heavyweight division. You know what I mean? Bob Arum promised him probably more than, you know, 2 to 3 fights, and, you know, Frank Warren promised him this, but in actuality, he only fought once. You know, he only fought once, and I think that that's detrimental to Tyson Fury's career. I think that he needs to be an active heavyweight, fighting 3 times a year, and that's what he wants. In all of the interviews, he said that's what he wants, and I just think that it all came. I thought it was going to all show in the Usyk fight. You know what I mean? I thought he was going to stop Francis Ngannou in the 9th or 10th round. I text D'd that before the fight. You know what I mean? But Francis Ngannou, man, he really showed out, man. He really showed that, you know, at any given day you can be caught off guard. And I think right now Tyson Fury his mind is just, you know, everywhere right now. You know, because right now when they asked him in the interview, you know, TNT asked him, hey, so what's next? He said, I got to go talk to my team. Okay, you knew good and damn well that you signed that contract to fight December 23rd. You should have said that. He did not say that in the post-fight in the post-fight interview. Okay, I think that's a telltale sign, and I think that that shows, you know, the level of confidence that Tyson Fury has. He says, I don't know right now. We got to go back. I got to talk to my team. What do you mean you don't know? Usyk's sitting front row. He's ready. He's done everything he needs to do to be right here on this stage, and I think he's going to capture it, man. I think Usyk's going to capture it, man. And at the end of 2023, and Frank Warren came behind Tyson Fury and said, no, we're fighting Usyk first. I mean, we're fighting Usyk next, you know, because we've already signed, you know, the agreement. Frank Warren had gotten broke off with some of the money already. Hell no, they're not going back, you know, and they don't want to mess up the relations they have with, you know, the Middle Eastern guys and stuff like that over there with a lot of money.
His Excellency, Turki Alashik. His Excellency, Turki Alashik, baby. Put on the show of the year, baby. Show of the century.
It was an awesome fight, Eric and Beez, man. I just think I got my money's worth. You know, if you did order the fight, you know, kudos to you. It was an awesome fight, man. I think Francis Ngannou, I don't want that to be the last time we see Francis Ngannou in a boxing ring. And, you know, I just think moving forward, the only thing that I have to say is, you know, December 23rd, it's going to be a new undisputed champion on the realm. And I think that's going to be Oleksandr Usyk. I think he's going to stop Tyson Fury. I've been saying this for 5 years on my channel. Go back and check. You know, I thought that Usyk could beat Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, and Tyson Fury. And one by one, you know, they're all falling. You know what I mean? And Usyk is the only man that's still undefeated. No blemishes on his resume, no draws, no nothing. Undefeated. I called this. You know, my name is Corey Lee Boxing. You have a great night.
All right. Thank you so much, Corey. Go check out his channel, Corey Lee Boxing, on YouTube. All right, let's go to San Antonio next, and then we'll get to the schedules and all that other good stuff. 210, you're live.
Hey, what's up, guys? Anthony, how you doing?
Anthony, hey, what's up?
Hey, was that the longest event you ever seen?
Yes. We talked about that, too. Yeah, we talked about that, too. I don't understand why they had to do all that. You know why? And Beeb and I said, you know, I told Beeb, I said, you know why they're making this, they're drawing this out with concerts and everything like that? because they're afraid that fight goes 30 seconds. That's what they're afraid of, that fight's not. It's going to go 30 seconds, and that's why they got all the fluff and all the fanfare and everything like that beforehand, and, you know, I at least that's what I think.
I just couldn't imagine being there, and, you know, in Saudi you can't drink, so you're just kind of just sitting around, and, yeah, that'd be
crazy.
Well,
not only that, they had to walk in. They were outside. Then they had to walk in the arena. And then they had to all get seated. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Out. Yeah, those were
spaces. Like, what are you guys doing?
It was crazy. It was way too much filler with the videos and the you know, lead up. But you know, I don't think MMA guys are going to be able to do this. So, I mean, but I will say that it was a combination of things, in my opinion. I think that, one, Tyson Fury didn't take it seriously. But two, I always said, like, the heavyweights, you don't need as much skill in the heavyweights. You don't need as much experience in the heavyweights as you do in the other weights. Like, the old-school heavyweights, where they were smaller. And, like, you see, like, with like Usyk, he can beat up these bigger guys. But I think because of how big these super heavyweights have gotten, I mean, look at Wilder. Wilder, he looks like a caveman in there. He started boxing late. Look at AJ. He started boxing late. He's a world champion. How many football players have we had, like all the PBC roster that were, like, you know, title holders, and, you know, like, you know, most of them were, like, from football. So I think that's a factor, man, that, like, it can't be replicated in the lighter weights, I don't think. You know, you got to really, you know, master your craft if you're gonna fight. I think it's just like kind of like the one-off, but I think it was Tyson that he didn't take it seriously. But I really don't like watching him, man. He doesn't have a good style. He's sloppy. He doesn't throw his punches straight in a straight line from A to B. Usually, that clips guys. He mauls. He wrestles. He's just not fun to watch, man. I mean, with Wilder it was, because they were knocking each other's heads off. And Wilder's just, you know, crazy. But I don't know. That's just my thing. I think with the heavyweights, they shouldn't be too surprised. Because, like I said, you don't need as much skill or experience in the heavyweights as you do in the other weights.
I would go along with that. I mean, look at George Foreman. I mean, George Foreman didn't have the most skills, but he had a big punch. He took out Michael Moore, who was a superior fighter, I think, a superior boxer anyway, at that point in their careers, and Moore just got clipped. I would go along with that. But still, there's no way that the guy we compared to Ali, the guy we've compared to, you know, because again, you know, he's the best fighter of our era right now in the heavyweight division. I mean, who's better?
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I think
and to go in there and get wiped
like
that.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think it's just the era we live in, too, because how many times do you hear, like, with Tank and everybody else, oh, then the greatest, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That is very thrown around.
Exaggerated with everybody. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, maybe it's social media. Maybe they're just trying to do more promo, but it's just, I noticed that it's like everything's really exaggerated these days. You know what I mean? But the last thing I'll say is, like, I was surprised. Like, that's what I don't like about boxing. It's so unpredictable. I thought this was going to be a rollover fight. I didn't bother watching the Foster fight because I was like, he's kind of a snoozer. But that ended up being a better fight, a slugfest. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And the Fury.
If you like boxing, that was the fight to watch. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
All right, Anthony. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
I'm doing a lot.
What's the matter with you? All right, let's talk about the fights next week. The upcoming fights here. Let's see here. It is. That would be November 4th. Cardiff, Wales, Joe Cordina versus Edward Vasquez for Cordina's IBF junior lightweight title. No, that's it? And there's no TV on it. Beeb, what's going on?
No, I think that's the zone. I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the zone.
Yeah, well, I'll be tuning in for that one.
That's the zone. That's the zone.
And then the one after that, let's go to the news here, because the one after that would be Tokyo, right? And that would be November 15th. That's not happening. The is off.
There's supposed to be a fight on November 7th on Tuesday, which is on Jamel Herring versus Nicholas Molina. That's on the zone at 7 p.m. Weird, it's a Tuesday show.
Yeah. Odds are, you know, it's a little scattered this week,
Yeah, kind of weird.
Yeah, let me go to the news here. Takuma Inoue injures his ribs. Fight with Joe Wananakahas is off. That sucks, man. I was really looking. I was so excited when that fight was signed. That's a really good one. And then his brother Inoue is fighting in December. He's fighting who is he fighting again for all the belts? Undisputed, isn't it?
Topalis.
Marlon Topalis. Yeah, Marlon Topalis. Yeah.
And then on the on Thursday the 16th, which is another weird day to have a fight. Shakur Stevenson fighting Edwin De Los Santos on ESPN Plus
on
9 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, Thursday, November 16th.
That doesn't make
9
sense.
9 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah. Yeah, so weird. Weird, we're having boxing's changing, right? Going back to the old days where they used to have those weekday fights there.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Keyshawn Davis, Beeb, Olympian, the U.S. Olympian, fails his drug test. The fight with Pedraza is off. Davis's last fight will be changed to a no contest. The fight with Pedraza, of course, is now off. What drug test did he fail? Weed.
Marijuana.
Listen. I mean, if it's steroids or something like that, I get it. That's not a performance enhancing drug, Beeb. It's not.
I don't believe it is, no.
It's not.
I don't think so.
It's not a performance enhancing drug, like, at all. And if anything, it would hinder your performance.
I would say so.
I mean, it's got to get like, and it, not to mention, it's legal at a lot of places. It may be legal in his home. You know what I mean? Like, it's legal in Ohio. I know, or it's medically in Ohio. In Michigan, it's legal everywhere. You know, Nevada, it's legal everywhere.
It's legal everywhere here, too.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah, I don't get that, man. I don't get it. That's just a bad look. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And, guys, we will see you next week. Bengals up 24-17. 4 minutes left, baby. I got to go see it.